It's Monday, June 6th, 2016, and this is the Wet Shaving Podcast, hosted by Sharpologist.com. Hi, Mantic59 here. Both Andrew and Joe are busy this week, so I thought I would take the reins of the Wet Shaving Podcast myself. I don't have any news for you, but I do have an interview with Samantha, half of the Mickey Lee Soapworks team. I met up with her during the Maggard's Razors meetup last month, and she was able to sit down with me to discuss their business. Hi, Mantic59 here, and we're at the Maggard's meetup with Samantha with Mickey Lee Soapworks. Thanks for sitting down with me.
Thank you for asking.
So, if you wouldn't mind, give me a real brief in a history or introduction of who you are, what the company is all about, and why you're here.
Well, it all actually started because my husband is active duty Navy, and he was on deployment, and I remember one time he called me and he was like, I really need to try out this stuff. I know we don't have too much money because we're enlisted, and he's like, but I really want to try wet shaving. And I was like, well, isn't all shaving wet shaving? And he's like, no, there is a guy on our ship every morning, because my husband, when he's getting off duty, there was a guy who's about to get on. And he would get up an hour early with his strop and a straight razor, even on the ship while I was rocking. And he would wet shave every day. He goes, every day I watched him for weeks and he never once cut himself. And there'd be 20 guys running all around behind him. And he's like, I want to know how to do that. But we started with a DE and we got the basic Vanderhagen. And I was already kind of making bath soaps. I have a science and math background. I was a pre-med. And he asked me to make shave soap. And I mean, there's not a lot on shave soap making out there. So we spent some time making recipes and kind of toying around. And we decided to do tallow. There's some vegan recipes out there for us. And I kind of based it on that starting. And then we went from there and we went and got tallow from, well, we got fat from the local butcher, Dutch Pennsylvania Farmers Market. We ordered a special one called kidney fat because it's the whitest fat that you can get. And we rendered it ourselves. We had to learn how to do that. And we decided we would chronicle it on Reddit, just how to make it. We weren't planning on selling it. And all my husband did was post four pictures of four jars of rendered tallow, and people were already asking to try a soap that we hadn't even made. And so it went from there, from testing and him, and the next thing you know, people were asking to buy, and we decided to, you know, a little extra money. We weren't expecting a big full business, we were expecting a little bit of pocket money to supplement enlisted pay, and that was almost 2 years ago, and then it just took off from there. We were like, if we sell 100 jars in 3 months, we'd be so ecstatic. And the first day we opened our actual site off of Etsy, we sold over 100 jars in 2 weeks. And I, like, it hasn't stopped, and it's great, like, being able to meet people like you and go around and meet, and it's so universal, no matter how different all of us are, that everyone can share this one hobby is so great, and everyone's so supportive of artisans, it's mm-hmm. amazing.
Well then, I'm a little confused then, I assume you're, since your husband was in the Navy, or is in the Navy, you must be on a coast. Either West Coast or East Coast.
We are currently in Maryland. We are actually at a joint base in with the Army.
But you say you got the tallow from
Dutch Pennsylvania. Yes, because we are right along near Pennsylvania border of Maryland.
Oh.
So there's a Dutch Pennsylvania farmers market, and they're only open 3 days a week. So I'd actually have to call and plan ahead. And there is a candle maker, I don't know who he is, but someone in Maryland, and literally I would be stealing from him. I'd get there earlier than him to try to get as much tallow as I could.
Wow. So, as I understand it from what you just said, it was a fairly short time period then from taking this from something which is just basically a hobby to I assume a full-time business for you now.
Yeah, it is a full-time business. I'm literally doing two things. I'm being a military wife and a soaper at the same time. It's thankfully I have a younger one and an older one. Our kids are 10 years apart. So one's in high school and the other one stays at home with me. So, but it was about 6 months from us showing our tallow, testing out recipes, to people starting to ask to buy. and us really not really sure if we wanted to. More so because there's so much competition at the time, and there's even more now, but there was some, and I just wasn't sure I was up to being critiqued. And there's so much involved that people don't realize. It's not a make a soap and overnight you make tons of money kind of thing. And I think some people are confused by that, that they see all the success certain people have. And it's not cheap. And starting on enlisted pay, we literally had to save for 3 months to make enough to do our first opening of like 50 jars.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about that development process then, that creative process. How do you go about producing something like this under the conditions you're talking about?
It is, there's so much math involved in it that you don't realize. You know, you always have your math teacher go, one day you're gonna use this. And you're like, I'm never gonna use it. And suddenly one day I actually have to use it. But there is a lot involved, more so for how little a change could be, can change your soap so drastically. When we first did it, we wanted to be completely old school, nothing but tallow and butters and fats. And we realized that that makes the world's creamiest, best bath soap, but not great shave soap, that you needed that stearic. I was so resistant to stearic. But that was one of our biggest complaints in the beginning, and we were very open, and we still are, to constructive criticism. We're always trying to tweak things, but I also try to keep things as minimal ingredients as possible if I can, because people put so much into it, and there's always a reason for it, but I really want to be able to pinpoint exactly why we put what we put in our soap.
So it almost sounds like you're taking this from a very scientific direction. So how does your creativity come into play here?
I think that's my favorite part. Once you've got a great soap, it's the scents, and scent is so subjective. I think that's the best part of being creative, is trying to, I think Will from Barrister Man does it some of the best, is like imagery through his scents. But we've been really trying so hard, because in the beginning we were very niche-y. Everything was food, because I come from a science and food background. My parents cook a lot. My grandparents used to run a restaurant. So I always thought of everything as food, and that's why we used to use different liquids like beer and tea and milk. And I thought that that was enough to sell. And then you realize you can't just do straight out of the bottle fragrances if you really want to try to make it, that you have to put so much more work into it. And trying to come up with scents and figuring things out, and I feel like we're finally starting to understand how certain things blend. And getting away from all the foodie scents has helped a lot. No more chocolates and oranges and everything. I mean, we do those occasionally, but going back to classics, I think, you know, a vetiver, an aquatic, a barbershop. I think that is the best way, because there's so many companies and everything's changing all the time, to have something that's kind of something they can all go back to, like a general line, I think is the best thing for us. And just trying to do our own take on that has been a lot of fun.
Well, with those results then, what's your most popular product now?
It started off as Drunken Goat, which is our flagship one, our first ever soap we ever sold, which will always be our baby. But ever since Nick Shaves made a video of our Kraken, that has been our number one seller. Although Reunion is starting to come up on its heels, but it's a little too early to say because that just came out in January. Kraken's been around for a year and a half now, but that has outsold everything. And the blue color in it was something I fought for with my husband. He kept telling me, just be white, just be straight, just be basic, colors are niche-y. And I was like, no, it's ocean, it has to, it's swirled, and everyone loves it. And now he's like, I was wrong. And that's one of the few times he's ever told me that, and I will hold on to that one for the rest of my life.
But Drunken Goat is still the most popular.
Yes, that is one of the first ones everyone seems to get before they go into everything else. And I mean, it's kind of a love it or hate it, but it's one of those ones where I feel like we can't ever get rid of it, because it was its basic and that was what started everything. I feel like we owe a lot to that scent, and no matter how much we change, we always will find a way to evolve that fragrance and that mixture with us, because it's started everything for us. If it weren't for that and being different at the time, doing something like that, then we wouldn't be where we are today.
Okay. So then What's next for Mickey Lee Soaps?
Well, with all the new things going out, I feel like we were getting to a point where there's almost too many soaps for people to catch on to and keep up. So we're just trying to keep our line midline. We keep 6 basic scents all through the year, and then we're going to do 2 seasonals for summer, spring, and 2 for winter, fall, and 1 LE a year, and that's it. But we've got our first prototype. We're kind of toying with it to perfect it, but we are thinking we might be leaning towards introducing a cream, maybe beginning of next year. And it is one of the few that is not vegan either. It is a mostly tallow-based cream. It's something we've been working on for now going on 6 months, and I think it's ready. It's a labor of love, because that's not something you can just crank out right away. So we're debating on if it's worth it, because you know you'll have people who will be upset because there's only so many that will come out at a time. But I think creams are pretty interesting because there's not very many artisan ones. So I think that's the route that we might be going next year.
Great.
It's appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's all that I have for now. Thanks for listening, and be sure to catch the next Wet Shaving Podcast hosted by Sharpologist.com.